Exchange, episode number 156, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are your World Series champions. It's a little late. We know it's a little late. I definitely did not have a meltdown considering academic work last week. Definitely was not me. Definitely did not.
Both of us.
Yeah, I think both of us. Am I still feeling the ramifications of such meltdown? Yeah, I still am. My advice to you incoming college students, do not take all classes for your major requirements. While it might sound easy, it's not.
No.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
Sneak in like but an anyway, astrology class.
Yeah, I took an online astrology class a year ago, actually, and all the answers were on Quizlet. See, kids, college is not hard.
There you go. But if you really want to make your life harder, try watching an Islanders game. There you go. Yeah.
Or a Ranger game. Or even a Knick game. Or a Giant game. Or a Jet game.
Just a New York game.
Or the Yankees. Just New York in general.
We went from here, Stan. We're right back to where we were. We're right back.
Dodgers won the World Series. We will recap that. We are going into some MLB offseason discourse already. Juan Soto is basically meeting with every team in the American League East, aside from the Orioles.
Yeah, because the Rays are really going to chum up $700 million to sign that man.
They got to fucking rebuild that stadium. They're not playing in the drop this year. They got to rebuild that stadium.
It's torched, but thank God no one wants to drive there anyway. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. Everyone complains about getting there so hard.
Mm-hmm. NFL Giants and Jets are in turmoil. We will dive into that. Joe Shane had a very interesting press conference yesterday. On NBA, Tim, your Cleveland Cavaliers are 12-0.
Yes, sir.
12-0. Yes. Knicks, not so much. They're currently losing to the Chicago Bulls. We will discuss the issues going on with the New York Knicks. Speaking of issues with teams at the Garden, New York Rangers, they may be 9-4-1. But if you watch them play, yeah, I think it may be 4-9-1. They're a 9-4-1 team playing like a 4-9-1 team. Right?
And the fact that they're
actually
even
watch a 4-9-1 team play hockey.
6-6-3, .500, pretty much exactly where I said they were going to be.
Lou is proud.
That text I sent
Lou,
you guys.
Lou is proud. Lou is proud.
Listen, I will say, with the injuries we're dealing with, it's something, because losing Barzell, Mike Riley,
and
who
Duclair. Now
just got downgraded again. Yeah, Romanov, Pelech. The entire left side of the defense is hurt, by the way, so it's all AHL guys, and 20-year-old Isaiah
Not
George.
Good.
So,
Not good.
Yeah.
And then college basketball, back in full swing. It's a bad two
Duke
weeks
lost.
To be me.
Yeah, this
it's
is
a bad,
just
let's just get it out of the way. It's a bad 2 weeks to be me. I mean, you know, Duke loses, Rangers suck. Knicks aren't really.
There's such a question. I don't even. I have so many questions
there's
for you.
Question mark. Giants suck. Yankees
no
might lose Soto
there.
Coming
no
off losing
the
World Series. Like, yeah, there's no. Yeah, there's no question mark. Let's just
they
dive
killed
right into
it in
it.
Munich.
Los Angeles Dodgers have won the World Series. Their second World Series in 4 years. Just what a fucking awful way to go out. Like, it's just awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Mean,
and the way that it gets talked about, especially now that Dodger players are like going to the media and, you know, now this is like a glaring issue now, the Yankees fundamentals. And to be honest, and they can deny it all they want. They can talk about how they have the best base running coaches, the best fielding coaches, the best coaches focused on the fundamentals of baseball. The fundamentals was an issue. It has been an issue all year. It was the main issue, really. I mean, you're playing guys out of position. You're playing Jazz Chisholm at third base, although it was a formidable third base. But still, there were some issues there. Even with guys that weren't on the playoff roster, like Dominguez playing left field, that was a disaster. There were just other things that were going on that just didn't make much sense. And It all showed in that fifth inning. It all showed in that fifth inning.
Yeah. One inning Yankees fans won't forget for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I'm not forgetting that for the rest of my life. I actually added it to the it's actually taking my number two spot on the worst losses of my lifetime and memory, which range from 2010 to now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a worse blow up than the Blue Jays inning in 15, where Bautista hit that grand slam. I mean, how do you make error after error?
Yeah,
Rangers, sorry. But error after error after error. I mean, it was ridiculous. And you got to it starts with Judge. You got to catch that fly ball. You have to.
It starts with Judge. It starts with a lot of people. Like Rizzo, Cole.
Aaron Boone being a horrible manager.
Yeah, they brought him back. I mean, like, a lot of people were still complaining. I mean, again, like, you have to, like, go into the mind of the front office. They went to the World Series for the first time in 15 years. Like, there's no way they were going to fire the guy.
No, like, but really it's every year that they're getting another excuse every year. Him, Cashman, it's... Yeah,
they do. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is. I mean, if we do want to go top five worst losses of my life, two from this postseason are already in the top five. It is taking the number two and number three spots. Number two, game five against the Dodgers. Number three, game one against the Dodgers. That was also another debacle. Then number four, Yankees Astros, Altuve home run. Number five, Giants Eagles 2010, the Deshaun Jackson game. And of course, number one, Duke UNC 2022 will kill me. That will stab me right in the heart for the rest of my life. But I will say there's a lot of stuff to improve on. We have guys that are free agents now. Gleyber Torres, it seems like it's written in the stars that he is not coming back.
Why would you bring him back?
They declined the option for Anthony Rizzo. They bought Luke Weaver's option, so he's back for another year. I feel like that's a move that you had to make. Then there's the big question, Juan Soto. What do you do with Juan Soto? And
he's coming to Queens.
A lot of teams are meeting with him, and this is becoming more of, I don't want to say an issue, because I feel like with this, it seems like whenever the Yankees desperately need someone, they're willing to go the extra mile. Like, we saw it with Cole back in winter of 19. We saw it with Judge in the winter of 22 when Hal Steinbrenner called him from Italy and was like, you want to be a Yankee, right? He was like, okay, done. Yankee, and you're a captain. But we'll discuss that later on in about 5 years, and let's see how we really think of him. But anyway, it seems like that they're going to pay top dollar for Juan Soto, no matter who the strongest competitor is. And it seems like everybody's in the AL East. It seems like it's going to come down to the Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox, and I think the Rays are like the guy that's like the first bidder on the auction just to say he raised his hand and did something and say, you know what, you go you. I think the top three right now are the Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox. That's what
the
I think.
Mets in there. I have to. I have to put the Mets.
Sorry. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. The Mets are definitely a threat as well.
I have to, just because of the money they have. This is the first time ever that the Yankees are not the only big market team in New York. The Mets have the money now to get whoever they want and however they want for however long they want them. So Steve Cohen said he's willing to spend. I have every thought, and I think he has every intention of giving Soto whatever the hell he wants to get him to Queens. That being said, then where does Pete Alonso fit in? And I think that's where the Yankees kind of step up. I think if Juan Soto becomes a Met, I think we could see
Han
Pete Alonso. Juan Soto.
I didn't know Juan Soto was a fucking Star Wars character.
All right. All right. Relax. Well, Polar Bear Pete, Chewbacca might be in the Bronx
Cashman,
next year.
Tim Lotto just gave you the greatest idea ever when you re-sign Juan Soto to do a fucking Juan Soto Han Solo bobblehead night.
Well, it's better than Arson Judge, so.
That's true. That's very true. Let's just look at free agency. Like, let's see.
Corbin Burns. Where do you think Corbin Burns ends up? Because I know Steve Cohen said that's top of his radar. That's a guy he wants to go after. I was under the impression he wanted an 8-year deal. That's what he said at the beginning of the market. So I think right now it's, I think it's between the Mets and, again, I'm going to keep saying it, the Angels. The Angels are going to throw money at any stupid pitcher.
And they just did. They got,
Travis d'Arnaud.
Thank you. I actually don't think he's going to go to the Mets. I think it's going to come down to two teams in two very different ways of the league. I think it's going to come down to either the Boston Red Sox or the San Francisco Giants. And from the Giants' perspective, I think it's, you know, the Dodgers have Yamamoto and Flaherty. The Padres have Darvish and Musgrove, although Musgrove is probably going to be out for the year with Tommy John. They don't have a ton of money either as well. This could be seen as their opportunity. And I know Blake Snell opted out, and he's probably not going to come back. But this leaves you with a two-man rotation of Logan Webb and Corbin Burns, if you possibly get him. That's a pretty good two-headed monster for pitching staff. And then for the Red Sox perspective, I think that they have everything except starting pitching. They just need that ace, really. They have the hitting. Willier Abreu finished top three in American League vote, Rookie of the Year voting. Rafael Devers finished, didn't finish anywhere, but still he's a top 10 player in the American League right now. And again, I just think that they're an ace away. Ever since Chris Sale left, there's been a big void in that starting rotation for the Red Sox. And I think right now Corbin Burns is the guy for them. It sucks to say, but I think
I don't know. I can see it happen.
I think we can't really give a Juan Soto prediction because I think that we all know where we stand. I think everybody knows where we stand. Mets.
It's whoever musters up the most money, and that's going to be the end of it.
Basically. Blake Snell, where does he end up?
I now got to turn my focus because if the Mets don't get Corbin Burns, you're looking at them throwing money again at a guy like Blake Snell. They need starting pitching. I feel like if you don't get Corbin Burns, it's almost a shoo-in to bring in Blake Snell because you bring him in, now we're looking at maybe the best lefty rotation in the league with David Peterson, you hopefully bring Manaea back, and you bring in Blake Snell. I mean, maybe Quintana comes back on a short-term deal too, so a lot of possibilities for the Mets in this free agency. Yeah. Again, if the Mets don't get him, maybe a team the Blue Jays?
Maybe the Blue Jays. I could definitely see the Braves.
Yeah, well,
if they want to bolster up that fucking rotation.
Well, they got some free agents too.
Yeah, they have free agents as well. So we'll see. If you get a three-headed monster of Spencer Strider, Chris Sale, Blake Snell, that's an issue.
Yeah,
that's
an issue.
Sox, if they don't get Corbin Burns, they can make a move at Snell. Same thing with the Mets too. If they don't get Burns,
maybe the Yankees
can definitely go get Blake Snell. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Here's the only situation I see it is if everything goes wrong for them in the free agent market, and then you got a guy like him left over, I think you throw money at him and bring in a lefty to boost up your rotation.
I completely forgot to mention it. Max Fried. Blake Snell can definitely be a perfect Max Fried replacement.
If Max Fried gets going, where do you think he goes? Because as a Met fan, again, another guy I would like to throw money at, but you know he probably isn't going to want to sign New York.
I saw that the Yankees were keeping tabs, and I'm sorry that I mentioned Flaherty before. He is a free agent.
I think he's a Dodger
for that
again,
Dodgers
though.
Thing. I could see the Dodgers, and that sucks to say.
Yeah.
Because if you think of it from this perspective, they didn't have a lot of lefties in that starting rotation. They needed in that starting rotation or that bullpen. They desperately needed lefty pitchers in general. And Max Fried's a great star.
And that was probably their only issue, was the starting pitching this year. So, yeah.
And then I could definitely see the Cubs.
Yes.
The Cubs can be a dark horse team. They're always looking to try to compete.
Cubs with Blake Snell, too, is also something that I could see happening.
Alex Bregman.
A Yankee? I mean, I could see that happening.
I think it seems written in the stars that he's going to be a Philadelphia Philly.
I saw that's true, because they were shopping. Yeah, I did see
they're
shopping Alec
Boehm. It seems like that some team is going to make a move, maybe the Yankees. I wouldn't mind seeing Alec Boehm in pinstripes, if I'm being completely honest.
Bregman, you mean? Or would you like Boehm in pinstripes?
I wouldn't mind him. I want the bat.
Yeah,
there's some defensive issues, and I feel like they want...
Well, I think they're going after defense first here. This is probably besides Juan Soto, their main, well, I mean, seen in the World Series, it's their main issue. And you're not bringing Gleyber back. You bring in a steady defensive guy to play second base, obviously.
But here's the thing. They need defense, but they need hitting too. Because first base hitting for the Yankees this past year has been atrocious.
Atrocious. Pete Alonso might be an option. I mean, Goldschmidt's a free agent. Do you really want to?
Fuck that. No way. let's just rattle off some guys. No explanations. Just give them a freaking... Actually, wait. Pete Alonso. Actually, give an explanation for this one.
Okay, I'm going to say the same thing with Juan Soto. It's too early to tell where I think he goes, because if the Mets get Soto, then it's up in the air. But if they don't get Soto, he's 100% a Mets. So I am going to leave it at that, and we can build up that later. But
yeah. Again...
Oh, and Boris is the biggest pain in the ass on the planet. Yeah, he's such a
cocksucker.
Well,
they are... It seems like that... what do you call it? Fuck. Soto is going to sign before the winter meetings. Either before the winter meetings or during
the winter meetings. That's the guy you got it. He's got to get off the market because
Boris just wants to get the Soto contract out of the way and then just focus on his other guys.
Well, that's the thing, because he can't really – Soto resets the market. So you sign, you know, Soto gets that $700 million deal, then complete reset of the market for who he's got left. Now you're looking at maybe Pete Alonso getting 240, and it's, you know.
I think that Steve Cohen's going to give him a number. He's going to negotiate with other teams. If any team goes higher than that number,
probably
he's going to go there. If nobody gives him anything higher than that number, he's going to be a Met.
I will say, if it's in a $10 million difference range, I think he's taking the Mets deal. But like, if it's a blow out of the water, he's getting another, you know, $10 million total. I'm not saying per year, but, you know, say it's $10 million per year, then you're gone. You know, they're not gonna
keep him. Rapid fire. Nate Eovaldi.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, baby.
I don't know. The Astros.
I got Atlanta. In case they don't get Snell, maybe Chicago. Sean Manaea.
Mets 100%.
I think it comes down to the Mets and the Orioles. If Burns doesn't re-sign, and it seems like it's not looking too bleak, it's not looking good for Baltimore in terms of Corbin Burns. They desperately needed lefties in that rotation. Why not get Sean Manaea? Luis Severino.
I don't think the Mets are bringing him back. Maybe a lower-end team that needs a little pitching. I could see low-key the Oakland A's. Given it, well, not anymore, but the Vegas A's.
They're just the A's.
I could see the A's giving them more money than a lot of teams, even though they don't sign a lot of guys, you know, but they're making moves now. I could see him maybe going to Oakland.
I actually have the Red Sox here. They're desperate for pitching right now. Yeah. I think they're a solid starting rotation away from being an actual threat in the American League.
Yeah.
And you can't hurt with getting more pitching. Shane Bieber.
Boston again.
Okay. I got Chicago.
Yeah.
The Cubs.
Well, the White Sox are shopping Crochet now, isn't it?
Yes, they are, but they're asking for way too much.
They're always asking for way too much. I think they don't get nearly enough, and where do you think he ends up?
I could see Baltimore.
Yeah, they have the prospects to give it up. I think that too. That's kind of where I was leading.
Yeah, I could see Baltimore. Christian Walker.
The Yankees.
I could see the Yankees. I could see the Astros, especially after you know, the whole Jose Abreu thing.
Did not work.
That did not work out. Gleyber Torres.
God.
I have him going to Seattle.
That's a good one. I wouldn't even have picked Seattle. I wouldn't even have thought to pick them. I'll ride you with Seattle because team desperate of a bat. Yeah, I think Seattle could use some hitting in that lineup. I'm going to take Seattle.
Jack Flaherty.
Dude, all these pitchers, like, it's so hard. I'm going to say the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers bring him back. I think they do.
I'm going to go with the Angels. I'm riding your Angels wave right now where it's...
I agree. They throw stupid money at stupid players, and it never works out, so I wouldn't be shocked.
Willy Adames.
The Mets, I honestly think he might be playing third base for the
shortstop, Tim?
I know. They already had this conversation. He was willing to play third base. And this is all if Pete Alonso isn't coming back.
Okay. I have him going to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean.
Anthony Santander.
He's going to stay.
Ooh, I just thought of a good one, but I have somebody else. Our next guy going to this team. You know, I have Anthony Santander going to the Royals.
Yeah,
I think that they desperately need a power bat like that. And then the last one, Teoscar Hernandez, same situation with Santander. Yeah. I have him going to Detroit.
Ooh. Okay. I like that. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. I think he either stays or goes to Detroit. I think the thing with Seattle is if they bring him back, then they're fully committed to retooling that lineup and hoping Julio Rodriguez has a bounce back year because... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying.
There you go. All right. So that is MLB until winter meetings, more than likely, unless we get some traction in free agency early. But I find that
maybe some relief pitchers
because it's baseball. The Knicks are down 11 to the Chicago Bulls at half.
Oh, Cavs are down like 6 at half.
Are they actually?
Yeah.
Sheesh. Jeremy McCain with 16.
They're just hitting threes. It's not going to happen in the second half. I don't see it happening.
All right. Let's go to the NFL. Giants.
God, what is there to talk about anymore?
I can't believe we have to talk about this. Like, this is what makes, like, I'm losing my like, it's the Giants being so bad and the sloppy quarterback play that's just going on across the league. I'm losing my love for the sport.
It's tough to watch.
I know you hate him, Tim, but I want Tom Brady back now.
Yeah, there's really no surgeon of a quarterback anymore. It's much simplified offense, and these young guys are, honest to God, not good at all.
It's just it watching Caleb Williams play under that. I know they fired Shane Waldron, but it's not good with Caleb Williams.
I mean there wasn't even like
Jaden Daniels looks good.
Yeah, but was there even a combined 300 passing yards in the Giants game?
Let's find out.
Because I know Bryce Young won, but he threw for like 120 yards.
190 for Jones.
Yeah, so no, barely over.
316 yards total.
Yeah, I remember when quarterbacks were putting up like 265 a game.
Yeah, that was a fun time. And it's like, and before anybody says Jaden Daniels, like, I can't enjoy Jaden Daniels because he's in my division. So I can't like fucking
and
say,
they lost.
Like, oh, yeah. And they lost. Yeah. To a guy, like, to a quarterback who visited the Giants, and then we told him, you know what? No, if we sign you, you are exclusively a backup to Daniel Jones.
I am tipping my hat, though, to Mike Tomlin, because this guy every year, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. He just knows. I don't know what voodoo magic is going on over there. And speaking of voodoo magic, somehow the Chiefs are still undefeated.
I don't even want to talk about that. I hate them. I hate the officiating in their games. I hate the way they play.
We got a voodoo bowl on Christmas. Chiefs Steelers at Heinz Field.
Call me. The Steelers are going to win that fucking game. They're going to win the game. I watch them play, and then I watch the Jets, and I'm like, what? They just forget, like, are they doing tackling drills better? I saw Jeff Olbrich today in a full this is what they had today, the Jets. Everyone's in full pads, and they went over tackling. It's week 10. It's week 10. It's We're going over tackling. I
don't know, man. I really don't know. There's so much going on. I don't even know. Let's just start with our own teams and then just see what we come up with, because I already have one thing in mind. Giants. Joe Shane had his press conference today. It seemed like he was, and I know John Mara was like, you know what, like, I'm not gonna step in, but it seems like this press conference was, please don't fire me, like, please don't fire me, John, like, please don't fire me, because I can't find like the words.
Well, what would be the reason for firing him? I mean, he's not going to help.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like, it's just fielding a team that's just not, like, I don't, like, the whole thing with Evan Neal, like, that was a debacle. It's bad drafting. He hit with the draft this year, but the draft before.
Please, for the love of
Deontay
God.
Banks has not been good.
For the love of God, I cannot have this draft and the draft, 2 years ago, hold these two guys in New York for any longer. I'm done with it.
You're right. You're right.
John Franklin Myers and I forget who else combined are making less money than Kinlaw is, and might be the worst player I've ever seen play football. So
it seemed like that Shane was just basically trying to sell this draft class as a way that we're trending in the right direction. And to be honest, it's a good draft class. Tyrone
who
Tracy.
Cares? Who? I know cares?
Draft
who
classes
cares?
Mean nothing.
Who cares?
But yeah.
Who cares? I don't even. I don't
You're
care
right.
anymore.
You're right. He basically admitted that he fucked up the Daniel Jones situation, or messed up with the quarterback situation, specifically extending Daniel Jones. And then he even had to stop himself to answer a question before giving really a no when asked if he regretted not bringing in a quarterback for an offseason competition, for example, Russell Wilson. I will say I thought Evan Neal looked pretty good. It seems like that the O-line coach, Carmen Brasillo, has really sparked a change.
I know. I'm so sick of doing this every week, Don.
I know. You're right. But, I will know. He did look good.
Quincy Williams had a hell of a sack. Just
had
put
a great
up
hit on Kyler Murray. Yeah.
Just put up 6 points.
Evan Neal was apparently injured during camp, so that's why he wasn't really getting the looks that he was getting. He does not seem ready to give up on draft picks. He was saying great things about Deontay Banks. He was saying great things about Evan Neal, and rightfully so with Evan Neal. Deontay Banks has been terrible. People were bringing up plays to him, and he was like, come on. Deontay Banks has not been good. He basically said that he's coming back 2025. Doesn't feel threatened with his job. Talks to ownership every day. See what happens. And then he basically sold his offense as, they're ready to compete when we get a better quarterback. And I will say this. If Daniel Jones is playing a snap after that press conference, I don't know what the fuck to think anymore. I really don't know.
The problem is, it's him or Drew Lock.
I think right now you got to either, number one, draft a quarterback. And
sign
to be
Matt
honest,
Ryan.
No, I love how that was a rumor for 2 years. I love when we get Rivers high school team's looking pretty bad if he wants a way out. But anyway,
give a call to Flacco right now. Maybe you'll grab him for cheap.
Who knows? But it's just the same thing every week. And it seems like now, we saw Schefter on McAfee. He basically said that I'd be surprised if he even takes a snap for them anymore this season, and it looks like this is the end of Daniel Jones, and it's about damn time. It is about damn time.
Yeah,
I'm just I'm just gonna say it. We're sucking for Shador. That's kind of my only hope right now.
You're not even trying to.
And the thing is, Dion said today, if he does not it seems pretty likely that Shador and Travis Hunter are going to be 1-2, or Travis and Shador are going to be 1-2, whatever. Jaguars get number one pick. You already have a quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Go get Travis Hunter. Put him as a wide receiver.
They might regret giving him that contract.
But who knows? But Dion's they'll pull an Eli. They will pull an Eli. Which,
to go where?
I don't know. That's the thing. That's the thing that I'm so confused about.
Well, for me, I'm happy that you have this tank for Shador motive. I got Aaron Rodgers next year. Don't worry, he's coming back for Jet fans who were worried. He'll be back next year.
Okay, good. I read the sarcasm.
Yeah. Here's my thing is the Jets, they suck. They have just only gotten worse every year since the last three seasons, progressively gotten worse somehow. Getting rid of Zach Wilson, you get worse. I don't know. I don't know how that happens. For me, there's no tanking. But the AFC is so bad, they're not even out of it. They're not.
it's what happened with the Giants last year when DeVito won those games against New England, Washington, and Green Bay, and we're like, oh shit, we're in the hunt here. Win two more games, we're seriously talking playoffs. And look where that got us.
Yeah, no,
thanks,
I'm not
Tommy.
Yeah,
you
that
fucking
sucks.
Ginzo.
The thing is, the Jets got nothing to lose. I mean,
they don't.
This is it. They're not drafting a quarterback, so give it a shot.
They really,
I don't know what happened. I don't know what. They all got paid. I don't know, but somehow they all forgot to tackle. I just don't.
Yeah, Sauce Gardner.
He's going.
What the hell are we doing?
It's getting weird. I mean, it's weird. The weird schemes. I hate the zone defense because it doesn't work, and it's not going to work if your run defense sucks. And that's been the problem since week one, and it's going to continue to be the problem. They suck. They really do on every plane of the football. They don't have a good offense. The defense that was supposed to be the savior. They don't have a good defense anymore.
They have not been the same.
I hate to be saying this. They don't even have a good special teams with how Zuerlein performed, you know, for the past whatever. They don't got anything good. They don't have a solid head coach. Olbrich is – I love Olbrich, but he's a great defensive coordinator, and there's too much on his shoulders right now.
Yeah.
I think
the
best – Am I dreaming for Rex Ryan? Tim, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
Tim, I think it might be time to dial it down a bit.
Bring some hard-nosed football back, Stan.
I'll say this, my favorite tweet from since our hiatus, and I shared it with Tim, and I kid you not, I was in the middle of class, like, laughing my ass
off. He's listening.
He is listening. Oh, yeah. Brian Lotto, right after the election. The best part of this for me is that Woody Johnson will go back to London as ambassador, and his smarter brother will stop messing up the Jets.
Please stop messing up the Jets. Woody, I mean, he's not wrong. This was all Woody Johnson's idea.
With the people that have been appointed to Trump's cabinet right now, we could be looking at a very high end position for Woody Johnson.
Yeah, and just please leave. I don't know. I don't know.
Please leave. Nice.
Stan, I thought this was the year out of purgatory. You know, we'd finally make some stride, and they've only gotten worse. And it seemed like that was impossible, right? It seemed going into the season on paper that it's impossible that they're a worse football team. But they are. They are. So I got nothing else to say. I can't. Yeah, it's like hard to watch.
Yeah, no, it's think of it from my perspective, too. It's fucking difficult to watch this team play football.
No, it really is.
They're going to get bullied into freaking benching him because that's the Giants don't. They just bully themselves. They get bullied into doing things, and that's what happens. And it sucks.
Yeah.
But here
Football,
we are.
Man.
Football. Let's stay with the NFL. Dak Prescott out for the season. Torn
hamstring. Does it matter anymore?
It does not matter anymore.
Is Micah Parsons – what happened in that post-game conference?
I don't know. He was saying some shit that was...
Jerry Jones wasn't happy, and then it was talking about head coaching situations because of, you know, CeeDee Lamb was bringing up... there's a lot of problems right now.
For as long as Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas...
We'll keep saying it.
They will not succeed.
When your own wide receiver is asking you to put up curtains because the sun's blinding his eyes, No, it's an advantage for us. He dropped the touchdown pass, so I don't know how that's an advantage, but... you know.
Now with this Dak Prescott injury, I would just like to remind people the Thanksgiving games this year. Bears Lions. It's going to be a slaughter.
Caleb Williams sucks. A slaughter.
Yep. Giants Cowboys. We get Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito. Hopefully.
You're still going to lose. I just don't. It's not going to be
Cooper
pretty.
Rush. Is there lines? No, they haven't put out lines for that.
What's the under 21?
Has to be. And the Sunday night game, or NBC game, the night game for Thanksgiving is Packers-Dolphins in Green Bay.
Oh, it's cold? Oh, that's a loss.
Yeah. So either watch college basketball like me, or just spend your Thanksgiving with your loved ones.
Yeah.
Talk about some things that have been going on lately.
Do the Isles play on Thanksgiving? Maybe tape the game? I probably don't.
Maybe tape the game. Are you living in?
Listen, Stan, you're not going to want to watch it on Thanksgiving if they're playing. So,
true.
They play the day before. Oh, yeah. You can watch the highlights.
You can record it.
Yeah.
Think of it from that perspective. You can record.
I'm sure you won't miss much. It's been tough to watch.
You won't. Let's go to basketball now. The Knicks currently down 20 points to the Chicago Bulls.
What is the solution? I understand you're really banged up, but it's not clicking right now. It's not. Oh, the Cavs are up.
Yeah, I just saw that. It's not good. It's not good. It's trouble in paradise. It's bad news. You just gotta get healthy. Like, that's kind of the silver lining of this.
How much does it change when you get healthy? Because it's not like the role guys really under. It's the key pieces that aren't.
It reminded me of post breakout Julius Randle, where it was like, you know, and that year was sort of like a very down year, but it was more of like the starters would suck, and then like the bench rotation would come in, be led by Derrick Rose.
Shout out to Rose.
He is respected on this podcast.
You know what? That universally the most respected basketball player probably ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, it just seems like that they don't have like a veteran guy to come off the bench, like an experienced guy. Now you could say Deuce McBride and I'd be like, all right,
but that's not
going to cut it. Jericho Sims has had a good stretch of games, but like, he's not going to be consistent.
Yeah. Well, I just, for me, the defensive side, you guys are such a good defensive team. Karl Anthony Towns in the restricted area defensively, I think, has like a 90 field goal percentage against him, which is.
He blocked five. I mean, that, yeah, that's those, that data doesn't really, I don't know. Like, it doesn't like resonate.
Well, how
with
much
me.
Are you missing? How much are you missing Mitchell Robinson? Is that.
We're missing
really...
him a lot. We're missing Precious Achiuwa a lot. So Achiuwa was a great rim protector.
How is this rotation going to look when they all come back? I want to. I'm trying to figure out how Achiuwa, these pieces are going to go together.
I'm trying to remember the starting lineup when Mitchell Robinson was hurt last year, and it was. And now I'm trying to remember because Achiuwa is going to be back in a couple of games. Maybe I'd give it like a week and a half. Achiuwa is going to be the backup five. He served that role well when Mitchell Robinson got hurt last year. When Mitchell Robinson comes back, he's probably going to be the backup four, which was a role he also served pretty well last year.
Well,
during the playoffs, especially.
Would it make sense to start Mitch and move Cat to the four?
Maybe. That's definitely been thrown around because Cat's just been so used to playing the four, especially
right,
in Minnesota since they got
Gobert. It just
faces
the four better, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I feel, and I think that Tibbs wants to like do what he wants.
Yeah,
it feels like he's been forced to run a five out, which is something that he does not really want to do.
Yeah, but this isn't the first time. Like he's, I mean,
a,
this.
I feel like he's had a good thing going with the four out, one in, and just have Mitchell Robinson set screens, pick and roll.
Right, which would make sense to have Mitch start at the five and move Cat to the four. But this isn't the first time Tom Thibodeau's dealt with Karl Anthony Towns, is my thing. So he's had some experience, you know, where he should be and, you know, how he plays. Yeah. So I thought it would be such a good cohesion immediately. You know, I know there'd be some little bumps in the road, but I figured by now they'd have it sort of figured
by
out.
By now
they
don't. They just don't have it right now. I don't know. What's happening? They're currently down 75-55 to the Chicago Bulls. Like, this is not good. Like, it's not good.
It's not a good product.
It's not a good product.
Well, the East sucks,
right,
so it's wide open.
Yeah, that's like the silver lining. Like, there's, like, the East sucks.
Because
so
Milwaukee's terrible.
What the fuck is going on with them? Like, well, this is
Doc Rivers effect.
It's Doc Rivers. Absolutely.
And guess who's on the bench with him? Darvin Ham.
Darvin Ham. Like,
what did you think was going to happen?
I don't understand. And then the Sixers just fucking suck.
It's their own fault. And you pay two guys made of glass, and you got one of them who won't play back-to-backs, and you have no bench depth. So let's see how this piece is together. And
they do have bench depth, but the bench depth cannot shoot the ball for the life of them.
No,
except Jared McCain.
Yeah, but the thing is, they remind me so much of what the Clippers are doing right now. Is Kawhi's out, Embiid's out. You rely on one guy like Harden and Paul George, and I know Paul George is better than Harden at this point, but it's, I don't know. I don't see them. I was high on them, and now I don't see it really clicking. And
I don't see it.
How
either.
Is this East going to end up? Is Brooklyn a good team?
No. They're going to.
Are the Hawks a good team?
Maybe. Reece Sachet. looks pretty good. Like, I don't know. The NBA Cup started. Woo!
Yippee.
Knicks get a nice little 2 points. I don't know why this is.
Chet Holmgren. Out 8 to 10 weeks. Yeah.
Now, OKC does not have a center until probably December.
They're running the small ball lineup.
I think they'll be fine. I think that they'll be all right. Let's talk about your Cavs. The Cleveland Cavs are 12-0. They're currently up 3 in the 76ers. Might be 13-0. Might be 13-0. Knock on wood. What has happened? Like, is it easy schedule? Is it just... This is just like the same group of guys?
I'm not going to say it's easy schedule. It's coaching. It's coaching. You look at the way they're rotating guys. They are playing a 11-man, 12-man unit every single night. Donovan Mitchell's averaging the lowest minutes per game he's had his entire career. Four out of the five starters are in double digits in points, average-wise. Their field goal percentage is through the roof. Their three-point percentage is through the roof. They have the number one net offense in the league. It is a complete game of basketball, and it's because they move the ball so well. If you watch them play, it is a lot like old-time basketball. They move it. They don't dribble a lot. Space, boom, quick pass. Look for the open guy. Take the easy shot. And, you know, the question going into the year, you brought it up too, is can Mobley and Allen coexist together on the floor? Clearly they can. It's been working out pretty well. And that I'm going to attribute is to Evan Mobley in the lab. He's shooting 50% from three this year. They could space the floor better. He's been much more physical in the paint. He's just been the guy we expected him to be, almost Anthony Davis-esque, and it's so beautiful to watch. The way they play is unbelievable. The backcourt duo is finally flourishing together. They have bench scoring with Ty Jerome, Dean Wade. Caris LeVert's been phenomenal off the bench. Isaac Okoro's been good in his role as they plug him in as a three guy to 3-and-D. Max Strus is still hurt, so they still have more weapons coming in.
That's right.
The unsung hero for me is George Niang. This guy,
he can shoot it, man.
Oh my God. He can shoot it. He plays at his own pace. He's physical, and he does the thing that not too many guys in the Cavs can do well, is because they play so well at high paces. He could slow the game down when it needs to be slowed down, especially when they get that bench unit out and Ty Jerome's cooking. Maybe they miss a few shots and they need to slow a possession up. He's the guy they give it to. I have loved watching them. Every single time they play, it has just been so nice to watch. I'm telling you, you got to tune in, Stan. It's just one of those things where they move the ball so well that it's almost like a college basketball type feel, where everyone's getting touches, everyone's getting into the game early, and because everyone's getting into the game early, they can all get active and be comfortable shooting the ball, and that's what's happening.
Exactly. I was just had a freaking NBA thing, and now I'm... we've been at it 45 minutes. Let's move on to the next topic. To the National Hockey League. The New York Rangers... It's not good. And the record may say otherwise, but just from watching them play, it's just not the product that you want.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of what they did after 2022, and they were just like, you know what? We're going to limp our way into the playoffs and really step it up by then. And then that's what ended up fucking them.
I don't think they have that luxury
and
this
year. And that's what started these narratives that they have with Zibanejad and Panarin.
DeAndre Miller, hasn't been great either.
DeAndre Miller's been awful.
The effort,
the turnovers. Like, there's... I don't understand.
And it could be an early season lull. And yeah, they do have a great record. And, you know, things... I'm not saying the wheels are falling off by any means, but they could be hitting a dry spell. It's just, you would think with how high powered the offense is and everything, it would all click. I mean, the goaltending, the defense, it's not. I can't say they're the only team. I mean, we've kind of seen some of these teams. I don't want to say playing better than I would have expected, but. I always beat Ottawa the other night. I know Ottawa's had a pretty good, you know, start to the year. I think they're 500 now. But teams like Washington, said it, but teams like Washington, we expect Washington to be here. Calgary's off to a hot start. I know Boston's a bit slow.
I kind of saw it coming. Yeah. Basically, Laviolette changed up the lines for the past couple of games. It hasn't really worked. And now at morning skate, at practice today, it seems like that he's gone back to the ones where we started the season. Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere. But here's the thing. Panarin and Trocheck, Lafreniere are that first line. Kreider, Zibanejad, and Smith are now that second line. Cooley, Hedl, Kako, Edstrom, Carrick, VC. I will say, I like Sam Carrick. I think he was a good add.
He's a good player. He's a scrappy player. Kind of a guy you need for a third line role.
Now it is Keandre Miller, Adam Fox, Ryan Lindgren, Jacob Trouba, Zach Jones, and Braden Schneider. Here's another issue. Ryan Lindgren, not good. He just hasn't been cutting it. And yeah. He's. I don't care if he's not 100% healthy. I don't care if he is 100% healthy. He's not good. Has not been good. It's not cutting it.
Yeah, and it's too early in the year for me to even start making any of these assumptions. But what I've had heard from around the league and what I saw is the Rangers are sort of kind of getting in the same situation that the Isles are in, where some of these contracts that you have long term just aren't movable.
Mika Zibanejad, Jacob Trouba. Trouba as well.
It's contracts that you can't move and you can't get the depth that you need. They're 9-4-1. They've played 14 games. I mean, they have 19 points. They're not bad by any means, but you know they hit a slow start. I think once they get their footing going, the power play really will take off, and the penalty kill will fix itself like it did last year. I mean, the penalty kill was fantastic last year. So it was.
So you start putting things in the league.
Faceoff percentage was super high too. I think once they start putting things together, they'll be fine. The thing with them is that you at least have some sort of direction. The Islanders right now,
they do not.
Yeah, they're 6-6-3, or 6-6-4, sorry, let me switch that. They did lose to Edmonton in overtime last night. It's been really tough to watch. I know you lose Barzal, obviously, that's the catalyst of your offense. This sucks. That's the guy, the driving force. Yeah, that sucks to watch because we don't get too many chances anymore. Great.
Yeah.
You lose the whole left side of the D pair. Every left defenseman's out, so you're looking at pulling up guys from the minors who I'm Chalowski, Hutton, Isaiah George. Yeah, exactly. Matt Martin's now in his prime role back as fourth liner, so he's playing every night. Yeah, there's some questions. For me, I'm going to start with my main glaring issue, Stan, and we have the worst power play I think I've ever watched in my entire life. I've watched...
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
I've watched everything. I mean, I've watched Mite Hockey's, Pee Wee Hockey's, Squirt... I have never seen a team fail to enter a zone so consistently as this team does. They don't even get in the 2 minutes to get set up. They don't. And they played the Rangers. I mean, they didn't even score. Rangers scored what? A penalty kill? Do we have one in the power play? Maybe one?
I don't remember. Who cares? Long ago.
We let up a shorty. I'll tell you right now. This is their power play percentage, Stan. Overtime losses first. Yeah, I figured. All right. Power play percentage, because it's not even on the list, and I got to scroll all the way down to the bottom. The only team worse, the Boston Bruins at 11.8%. Isles have a 12.5% power play. We can flip it. Rangers at 26.2%. There's a big difference there in the scoring.
That is a pretty glaring difference.
Yeah. The only thing the Isles are good at right now is their third in faceoff percentage, and they have the most overtime losses. So we'll take league leaders as we can, but not looking too good.
Yeah. Let's go around the league and definitely Winnipeg. Big story. The Winnipeg Jets. It feels like this has been a long time coming. And by that I mean they always find themselves in this situation. They're in the playoffs, they have the great goaltending, but where's the offensive production? And it seems like that they're getting it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They're
4-1 win against Dallas last night.
6-3 in the Rangers.
Yeah.
They got it all clicking. My only thing is now, because you know it's early and you could drop, you know, whatever, but Kyle Connor's got 11 goals, 22 points, Scheifele 21 points, Ehlers 20 points, Morrissey's got 17, Neil Pionk's got 17 points. They're getting it from every position. It's early. Do you think they have it in the playoffs, or are they the new Toronto Maple Leafs?
We'll find out. What is the, who was it? Chicago, 2015, had a start like this, won the Stanley Cup. Buffalo had a start like this in 2006, lost in the conference finals.
And you could even flip it. 2019. The Blues were last in the league in January. They won the cup. So, I mean, the regular season tells nothing. That's the parity in hockey. You make the playoffs, it's anyone's game.
Exactly. Ovechkin. Teams that are surprising you. Yep. He's going to do it, and it's
going to do it. Is Dylan Strome going to assist every single one of his goals, too? Because Dylan Strome's assisted every single one of his goals so far.
Has he scored today? No, he has not. They're currently up 2-1 in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Jake Zaretsky did call this, and you know
it's
what?
Early. It's early.
I agree with him. He will be breaking that record on March 5th at Madison Square Garden.
Wait, maybe not that game. I'm sure they play the Isles after. I've watched him score like 3 goals on us every time I've seen him live. So if I'm heading to that game, don't worry, Stan. It'll be that night.
Let's see. March 4th. No. Interesting. They do not go to Long Island for this.
That's shocking. Most teams do.
That road trip, which is pretty interesting. LA Kings on top of the Pacific. This is kind of like the first time I've looked at
standings.
Yeah.
Kings are good.
I had a miss in the playoffs. That's kind of unfortunate.
I didn't. And I think this is kind of just the way they play. They're a very good defensive team. They're not gonna pump you, but they'll keep games close and they'll win them tight.
And then the big shocker. The winners of the offseason this past offseason, Nashville.
Dead last. Is the proven point why hockey is the only league in the world that you can't buy a team in free agency and win with.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that because you flip it and look at Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Minnesota looks pretty good.
Let's talk about another team you can't buy in free agency to win. The Pittsburgh Penguins. They stink.
Yeah, they're not good.
They made every single player besides Sidney Crosby available.
Yes, I did hear that as well. They did make a trade.
They did back to Washington. Who got sent back? He already played for Washington.
It was Ehlers, I think.
It was Lars Ehlers?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's back. I mean, he's going to stay in the division. He's so pesky, but whatever.
Yep.
My question to you, if Pittsburgh is still in this terrible position come trade deadline, is Evgeny Malkin on another team?
It's certainly a possibility, but I don't know if...
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Out of the three of Carlson, Letang, and Malkin, which one has the higher probability of heading out the door first if it stays this way? Because it's tied 2-2 with the Red Wings right now going into the third, so...
Yeah. I could definitely see Carlson getting out of there first. Yeah, I think they stay with Malkin. I just cannot see them trading.
Yeah, I know. I can't really either. The only reason I bring that up is he leads the team in points with 18. So if he stays on this hot streak and his value's through the roof and they can get another prospect
teams
back.
Teams are going to definitely win him.
So, I mean, that's my only why I think he might be the one out the door first. I don't know. I don't know. They're old guys on contracts that aren't too favorable, so.
Yeah. All right. Moving on from NHL. It's on everyone's mind.
Ovechkin just got an assist.
It's on everyone's mind. Duke had a game against Kentucky in Atlanta. Cooper Flagg sort of made his debut in the bright lights. And let's just say this. He played well for the first 38 minutes of the game. And then sort of the closing minutes sort of...
He's young. He's 17 years old.
He's 7. That's like that's the good news and the bad news. The good news is he's 17 years old. The bad news, he's 17 years old. Like, that's... He's
it's crazy.
He's still a fucking kid.
Benzie was like 17 just, playing in the show last year.
Yeah, like 26 points, 12 rebounds. But it's like... Our closing offense cannot be Cooper Flagg, please save us.
It's early.
I understand. Yeah. But, like, the thing with that was, like, he was dribbling in isolation. Like, he has – and he's young, and he's going to learn this. You're going to have to learn that when you're going to turn your body, you're one of the best players in college basketball. They're bringing a double team. Like, you're going to get double.
Find the open man. If every player played like LeBron, basketball would be so nice to watch.
Yes, it would. But here we are. There's a lot to learn from. I think that, you know, Duke didn't really shoot that well in the second half.
And no, they did not.
They did not.
I don't watch much college basketball, and they did not shoot well in the second half.
Felt like there was a little lead on the rim. The refs could have been better. There were a lot of calls that probably should have went Duke's way, but they didn't. For example, the illegal screen that was set on Sion James, and it knocked him out for the game. And I don't know what the situation is with that. So that's going to be something to look out for. But, you know, we have a tough non-conference schedule coming up. We got Kansas in a couple of weeks. Then we got...
you guys will play it together. I mean, it's one game.
Yeah. Then we got Auburn. You heard about that shit with Auburn, right?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Woo! And then to fucking win the game.
Absurd.
It's one of the best teams in college basketball. Insane.
It brought the team together.
It most certainly did, yeah. But we do play Saturday against Wofford, and then we just got to focus on Arizona next week.
Cruise in. Is Gonzaga the truth? That Baylor game was ugly.
I think...
I'm only asking because Will plays them, so...
Who, Gonzaga?
Yeah. Hey, we almost made the tournament last year, Stan. Come on.
That's true.
One win away.
Gonzaga's very good. I just have to see him. I will say the continuity that's back in Gonzaga is probably the best continuity that anyone has had in college basketball all year.
That's not good.
No, that's like, oh, well, let me, dude, if you really think Lowell's going to fucking beat
I meant Gonzaga, for you, buddy. Like,
oh, we don't play Gonzaga.
Hey, tournament maybe. Hey, listen, Stan, I'm more worried about tournament, the hockey team. 15th in the country.
Yeah. Locally, your Siena Saints are 3-0 in November for the first time since 2003.
There we go. Now we're talking local. Lowell beat BU on Friday in hockey.
Oh, fucking college football.
Yeah, Oregon's in first.
Well, let's talk about... the bracket.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got to talk about the bracket.
Oh, Pitt, are you kidding me, Pitt? Away to Virginia.
Yeah. Bad. You're done. Tim, I don't know if you saw this article. I didn't send it to you because I wanted to see your live reaction to this. Per Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, Dan Lanning is generating buzz in NFL coaching circles.
Listen. Guy is just a world-class head coach. He'd be the Alabama coach right now if he wasn't so loyal to Eugene, Oregon. But here we are.
Let me read the quote here.
Well, I'll take it a year at a time, Stan. Let's finish the year strong.
he's got some Dan Campbell to him.
Yeah,
that
of course
is the direct quote from the article. Anyway, let's take
Jets
a look.
Head coach?
New
Jets
ranking.
Head coach.
Oh my god. I feel like you'd do a backflip.
I'd go crazy.
You would fucking lose your mind.
Finally. Go get Bo Nix. Go trade for Bo Nix, because apparently he's the second best quarterback in this draft class.
Apparently now he is. So rounding out the top four in the bracket, not the rankings. Oregon at 1, Texas at 2, BYU at 3, Miami at 4. 5-12, Ohio State, Boise State. It seems like Boise State right now is the group of five team that's probably going to get in. Unless they lose a game, then it's Army's.
Come on, Army.
The 6-11 game would be Penn State, Ole Miss in Happy Valley. The 8-9 game will be Tennessee, Notre Dame in Neyland.
Why are all like.
And then,
see this? Okay.
wait. And then this is the one where I will. This is why I love this. Like, I love this bracket. Indiana, Alabama, in Bloomington.
Here's my only gripe. Like, the only gripe I have with this. I love the way
Next
I love this.
Five, going to the fourth.
Yeah, there you go. Little comeback. I love the bracket idea. I love the expanded playoffs. But does BYU,
They're leading the Big Ten. They're leading the Big 12 right now.
Yeah,
they are getting the automatic bid.
I know, that's where I'm them over Ohio State, like it's...
But that's what makes it so great.
No, you're right.
This is what we wanted.
It's like baseball.
This is what we want. My TV's on a delay. I just heard my brain just yell a big bang.
Bang!
let's take a look at the Big 12 standings, because Tim, there is a team that could be playing in the Big 12 championship game, and if they win that, they get the automatic bid. Do you know who that team is?
Who is it, Stan?
It's Colorado. There's a legitimate path that the Colorado Buffaloes could beat BYU, and honestly, I think that they could.
The turnaround we've had from saying they won't win another game this year, too, they're making the playoffs, is substantial on this podcast.
You gotta love college sports. They've won three straight. Their only two losses are to Nebraska. Okay, that's a bad loss. And Kansas State. And they have the same overall record, not the same conference record. They destroyed Arizona. They beat Cincinnati. They destroyed Texas Tech. Now you have Utah, who is down Cam Rising.
Yeah.
At Kansas in Lawrence, and then Oklahoma State. It can happen.
Yeah. The thing with them is they're not going to win any big games. Like, they play a good team, they're going to lose. I know.
It'd be nice. It's going to be good. I think that they're going to be the playoff number one and number two. It's going to boost their draft stock by Shador. I mean, right now it seems like Shador
Shiloh
and Travis.
The first round?
No. God, no. But I'm just saying, there's a legitimate shot that we could be seeing Colorado in the Big 12 final.
You never know.
Like, that's a realistic possibility. Also, I do want to mention this. I feel like this is going to happen every year, and we're going to say this. The advantage right now is to the Big Ten teams. Because right now the SEC is sort of having a down year. We're not really a down year, but, you know.
But I know what you mean.
Georgia has two losses. They're not in it. This is the first time they're outside of the top 10 of a college football playoff ranking in the Kirby Smart era. Like, this is an advantage for the Big Ten teams. Because as of right now, if it were to end today, Ole Miss would be going to Happy Valley, and Alabama will be going to Bloomington, Indiana, in the fucking freezing cold, in temperatures that they are not used to,
mm-hmm.
in late December.
The Miami Dolphin effect.
Yeah, it's really the Miami Dolphin effect. So we'll see. I mean, Georgia cannot afford to lose a game anymore. They're taking on, what are their names? They're taking on Tennessee. Nico Iamaliava is questionable with a concussion. It doesn't seem like he's going to play. Any other playoff eliminators right now? Like, this is the thing with BYU. Vegas does not like them at all.
I wouldn't if I was Vegas.
Kansas is going into BYU, and they're 2.5-point underdogs. 2.5. 2.5. That's pretty short for a 3-5 team taking on a top 10 team. Like, that's not good. It just seems like a pretty dry week of college football. I mean, Oregon goes to Camp Randall.
Every game Oregon has from now on is a choke, Stan.
I've also got the
Purdue comment. You're like, oh, it's tough to do. Purdue sucks. I mean, it's all been right, right, everyone's going in there and winning
all right,
this.
All right. It seems like next week has the big game with Ohio State and Indiana.
Jared McCain is 32 points.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Cavs are up 101-96, but McCain is 36.
Let's see. Next game down by 6.
You guys are going to lose in a nail biter, and it's going to suck.
Yep. I believe you. All right, moving on. What I saw. Tim, go for it.
Well, I snuck around in before the season ended.
Yes, season.
Shine 86. Golf season. So.
Golf season's over.
Shine 86. Can't complain.
All right. Not bad. I've got two what I saws. First what I saw is Duke. Duke basketball next year.
Oh, my God. The Florida coach, too. I got it. Well, maybe that's your second one I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's your second
one. Oh, it's bad. And the fact that he's, like, keeping his job, too, is insane.
Didn't they give him a standing ovation when he came out the other night, too?
They cheered for him. They didn't give him
standing ovation. What is going on in Florida right now?
It wasn't Boeheim like.
What are we doing right now? What are we doing, Gators?
Yeah, but anyway, Duke is actually going to be playing at West Point next year.
Really?
against Army. So really? That's going to be fun.
There you go. I've been at West Point since, like, I had a hockey game there.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Todd Golden now. Because that is, I'm telling you, there is no scandal like a college basketball scandal. And right now, it seems like this guy's going to get away with it, number one. Number two, it's just weird. It's weird behavior. It is very weird
behavior.
Beyond
weird behavior.
Yeah.
It's not even borderline. It's just disrespectful and unwarranted. I don't know.
Knicks take the lead.
Wow.
I would like to... No, never mind. Damn it. Fuck. Anyway. Trying to think of an... Oh! My other one I saw. I just got off the phone with someone that Tim and I both know.
Oh.
And for those who don't know, the gambling contest, the punishment is a 15-minute stand-up routine. Right now, I am losing by 2 games. I'm not going to reveal.
We keep going 2 and 3.
But we have a venue. We have a venue. Tim and I are going to talk in more detail when we're done with this. But we have a venue. We're going to get people to show up. My hope, and Tim, this is just a suggestion. My hope is either do it during like a college football playoff weekend where there's 2 games. And then either when it's like halftime for one of the games or we're like in between some of the games.
Or
do the routine and then
during the summer lull when there's nothing really going on sports wise. That's a nice little hey, I gave a phone call to about 30 people I know. We're about to go to the blank.
I'll explain why I want to do it during the winter. I'll explain why during the winter. Because I feel like it makes more sense because of... I'll tell you later.
Well, okay. Well, we got to figure out time-wise what's cool anyway. So this is Mo. We'll get to the end of the...
During break. I feel like during break. Yeah, during break. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube, leave a comment. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars?
5 stars only. And we're getting close to December, people. It's almost that time. We will see you guys next week. Peace out, guys.